to continue looking at the book of Proverbs. In the first nine chapters, we see the importance of obtaining wisdom, and then beginning with chapter 10, we see the actual Proverbs, which is the application of wisdom. And beginning with chapter 10, we began to approach the book of Proverbs by subject, as wisdom applies to these subjects. In Proverbs 10, verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. There's a contrast there between the speech of the righteous and the speech of the wicked. And there are many proverbs that draw that contrast between wise speech and foolish speech. And we'll get to those proverbs probably next week. Tonight, by way of introduction, we see that the book of Proverbs, more than any other book, has a lot to say about the subject of speech, about the subject of our use of words, the governing and the discipline of the tongue. And we want to approach that subject. If we turn to the book of James, chapter 3, book of James, chapter 3. And all through the Word of God, we are warned. It is illustrated concerning our speech and our use of words. And in James 3 and verse 2, we see the right government of the tongue is a matter of spiritual maturity. Now, I realize that some personalities are more talkative than others. We're quite aware of that. But the Bible is very plain concerning the use of the tongue. And we see here that to properly govern the tongue, doesn't matter which personality it's, to properly govern the tongue is a matter of spiritual maturity. And in verse 2, for in many things we offend all. That is, in many things we offend. And the word offend simply means we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes, we err. So in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word. And there isn't anyone here that has been talking for too long that has not offended someone in word. And we've all been offended by someone else's words. But if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That is, he is a mature individual. And it goes on to say, there in verse 2, and able also to bridle or harness the whole body. Not only is his tongue properly governed, properly controlled, there's discipline over his whole body. And then he illustrates this in verses 3 and verse 4. We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And with those bits, we're able to turn about their whole body. Again, he's talking about controlling something large. In verse 2, if our tongue's in control, our body's in control. This is illustrated by the horse and the bit. And then in verse 4, it's illustrated by the rudder of a ship. And then in verse 5, beginning with verse 5, we have the danger of an unruly tongue or an unrestrained tongue, a tongue not properly governed. Even so, That is just making application of the illustration in verses 3 and 4. Even so, the tongue, just like the bit that you put in a horse's mouth, is a little member. It's like the rudder in the ship. It's a little member. And boasteth great things. Behold. Again, this is something we need to look at very carefully. Behold. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. All it takes is a spark to ignite combustible material, and you have a great fire. That's also true of words. We're all combustible. We really are. And it just takes a spark. It just takes a word to set us off. We all know that by experience. We've all experienced someone just saying a word and it sets us off for the rest of the day. Some, it sets them off for the rest of their life. But we're combustible. And the tongue or a word is just like a little spark. So much trouble, so much destruction can be caused by that little spark. So much damage. And we need to be aware of that. Because the more we are aware of that, the more we are aware of the importance of governing our tongue. In verse 6, and the tongue, just as a little spark kindleth a great fire, the tongue is a fire. It is a fire. It's like fire. Fire can destroy everything in its path. Fire can cause great pain. And our tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, a world of evil is in the tongue. That's true of every single one of us. A world of evil is in our tongue. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth, pollutes, contaminates the whole body. And then notice what it says, and setteth on fire the course of nature. The tongue setteth on fire the course of nature. That word, that phrase, and setteth, simply means sets in motion. A word spoken can set in motion a lot of things. A word spoken can set in motion the fire, the course of nature. The course of nature is not a good thing. It talks about our depravity. One word can set in motion strife. One word can set in motion contention. One word can set in motion division. One word can set in motion comfort or joy. But again, it sets in motion the course of nature. But then notice what it says also, and it is set on fire of hell. That is, this is the origin of the tongue, hell. That's how evil our tongue is. And then he goes on in verse 7 and verse 8. And it talks about the difficulty of controlling the tongue. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed. Man has tamed all kinds of wild animals. He's been able to bring them under his government, been able to bring them under his control. But the tongue can no man tame. The tongue can no man tame, govern, bring it under control. That is, you cannot just come up with, I'm going to start doing better tomorrow. Doesn't work. The tongue can be controlled. And we'll see that in a minute. But the tongue can no man control. It is an unruly evil. That is, it is an evil without restraint. And therefore, it's very dangerous. You take a church. You take Home Baptist Church. We all have a tongue. We all have the ability to speak. And our tongue can be an evil without restraint. The trouble, the division that can be caused by the tongue. Then he goes on and says it's full of deadly poison. So what we say, our tongue is a direct manifestation of the condition of our heart. The only way that you can control the tongue is to control the heart. If we have wisdom in our heart, we will have wisdom in our speech. If we have foolishness in our heart, if we have bitterness, if we have envy, if we have strife in our heart, that is going to come out somewhere in our words. So our words are a manifestation of our heart. So if we're going to have any governing of our words, we have to govern our heart. In Matthew chapter 12, Matthew 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Christ presents this same truth in Matthew 15, verses 10 and 11, and then also in verses 18 through verse 20. So, government of the heart leads to government of the tongue. Therefore, if an individual's religion does not have a direct influence upon their speech, James says, notice in James 1 verse 26, that individual's religion is vain. Why is it vain? Because if it doesn't have an effect on his speech, it is because it does not have an effect upon their heart. James 1 verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious, doesn't say he is, it says if he seems to be religious, and bridleth not, does not harness his tongue, his own heart is deceived, this man's religion is vain. It's empty. Because, and the reason it's empty, it has not affected his heart. We know it hasn't affected his heart because it has not affected his speech. His tongue is still an unruly evil. Now in Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. James made reference in James chapter 3 to the power and impact of the tongue by alluding to it as bits in the horse's mouth and ships turned by a small helm. It shows the power that is in the tongue. And the power of life and death in our words again emphasizes the necessity of control. It emphasizes the necessity of controlling our tongue. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7, Solomon said, there is a time to keep silence, and there is a time to speak. And it is a mark of wisdom for an individual to know when it's time to be quiet and when it's time to talk. A lot of people seem to think that somebody needs to always be saying something. But that's not so. There is a time to keep silence. Job's friends would have been better off had they just kept their mouth shut. Things went pretty well when they sat there in silence. It's when they opened their mouths that wrong things were said. Some good things were said also, but there were some wrong things that were said. So there is a time to keep silence. There is a time to say something. And a wise individual knows when it's time not to say anything, when it's best not to say anything. What you might be thinking about saying might be correct, but it might be best to keep it to yourself. The time may come when it would be proper to say what's on your mind, but you have to be able to discern between the time to keep silent and the time to speak. When people are going through a tragedy, so-called, people, friends, loved ones will gather and try to console them. And many times in those moments, some of the most foolish, some of the most hurtful things are said. Not intentionally, but it's because people do not realize you do not have to say something. There is a time to keep silence. And a person can be comforted just by your presence. And then you open your mouth and you might take away. You may not mean to, but you take away any comfort that you've given them. And when a person is offended in that way, it's hard to forget. I believe, I don't know if I agree with myself on this, I may disagree tomorrow, but I believe we are more apt to forget what somebody does rather than what somebody says. Now, again, I may disagree with that statement tomorrow, but my point is, we do not very easily forget what someone said, whether it be something good or whether it be something that was hurtful. We have a hard time forgetting words. That's true of you and I when we hear words. We must remember that that is also true of people that hear our words. So again, this emphasizes the necessity of control. Now, Proverbs, again, we see that there's a time to keep silence, there's a time to talk. And Proverbs does address the subject of talkativeness and silence. In Proverbs 10 and verse 19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth or there lacketh not sin. How true. And people say, oh, we talk for 5 hours. I imagine a lot of foolishness. Well, what do you base that on? In the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. We need to always remember that. The more we speak, the more apt we are to say something wrong. He goes on to say, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So in the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. In other words, constant talking will eventually lead to sin. Constant talking will eventually lead to something that is hurtful. It's going to get there eventually. In the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. Sin. Because where there is constant talking, somewhere along the line you have to take time to think. And where there is constant talking, there is very little forethought, there is very little care, and where there is constant talking, there is much that is trivial and there is much that is vain. And again, someone is going to sin. But a wise individual will refrain from endless chatter. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. And then notice in Proverbs 11, verse 12, he that is void of a wisdom, that is, he that does not have wisdom, despiseth his neighbor. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A man of understanding is a man who has some insight, a man who exercises good judgment, and this individual knows when it's best to hold his peace. He may not think very highly of his neighbor, but he has enough wisdom to know when to hold his peace, when not to talk. Proverbs 13, verse 3. Again, how many times we've all been there, we wish we hadn't said anything. How often? Wish we just wouldn't have said anything. Proverbs 13, verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. In other words, being careful about what one says can keep you out of a lot of trouble. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Because the individual who opens wide his lips, that's the individual who does not think before they speak. That's the individual who just speaks hastily. Those individuals will make promises that they can't keep and won't even remember the promises they made. And you might offend somebody because you said you would do something and you're unable to do it. But again, because you did not think. Before you tell somebody you're going to do something, you need to think in your mind, am I able to do this? Am I able to carry this through? Because if you just talk and you make promises that you can't keep, and you reveal, and if you talk without thinking, pretty soon you reveal information that you probably shouldn't have revealed. You reveal private information, maybe about yourself, maybe about someone else. And all kinds of trouble is started. So, and the individual who's constantly talking, because they reveal information that they shouldn't, because they say they're going to do things that they don't do, pretty soon their word doesn't mean much. Their word doesn't mean much. Oh, they're just talking. You know, people that talk all the time, I got news for you, a lot of people aren't listening. Because you've already proven that your word is not faithful. Constant talking leads to trouble. Proverbs 17, verse 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. In other words, if you don't know what you're talking about, don't say anything. They may think you're smart, but as soon as you open your mouth, you've proven just the opposite. So we see even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So speech has a very powerful impact upon our lives. James 3, verses 9 and 10 talks about our tongue can be used for evil. Our tongue can be used for good. Proverbs has a lot to say about the evil tongue. Proverbs has a lot to say about the good use of words. We want to consider just some of the evil uses of the tongue. And then we want to look at the results or the consequences of these things as revealed in Proverbs. In Proverbs 11, verse 13, Proverbs 11, verse 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. A talebearer. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Now, there are times when matters need to be repeated, and there are times when things need to be revealed. No question about it. But a talebearer is one who maliciously communicates secrets. He says what he knows, knowing that what he's saying is really not going to be of any good benefit to anyone. But he's malicious. And a talebearer is dangerous. It is dangerous. They are a danger to anyone that comes in contact with them. A talebearer is very dangerous in a church. One who maliciously communicates secrets. In Proverbs chapter 18, in verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer. And you need to identify those who go about as talebearers. And once you have identified a talebearer, the best thing to do is not tell them anything. They goeth about to reveal secrets. There in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth. This is how they get their information. That flattereth with his lips. Do not meddle with that person. Do not give that person opportunity to maliciously communicate secrets, to cause destruction. Then notice in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. I've seen it happen many times, you have also. There is a problem between two individuals. These two individuals work out their problem. But then somebody comes along, cannot stand that the problem has been worked out, and they begin to maliciously communicate once again and stirring up the strife. A talebearer is a wicked individual. A talebearer is a very dangerous individual. Verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So one way that we improperly use our tongue is the malicious communication of secrets. When we tell what we know, we need to carefully examine, why am I telling this? Why am I telling this? Is it for the good? Is it necessary? Am I being malicious? Again, the tongue is a fire. It's destructive. Another thing we read about is whispering. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief or the closest of friends. A whisperer is gossip. Gossip, which is unrestrained conversation about other people. The spreading of rumors doesn't necessarily have to be true. It can be false. It is simply the spreading of rumors. When we spread rumors and we don't even know for sure and we just go by hearsay, we are guilty of whispering. And a whisper has the ability to separate the chiefest of friends, which again shows us the harm of words. If he can separate the closest of friends, that speaks of the harm, that speaks of the hurt, that the gossip can cause. Another evil use of the tongue is slander. To make false statements about people, damaging their reputation. Not telling all the truth, holding back some truth to make someone look bad. That's slander. And it is part of an evil tongue. In Proverbs chapter 10, in verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. And in Proverbs 11 in verse 9, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Then, of course, there is backbiting. Malicious talk about someone who is not present. Proverbs 25 and 23 mentions a backbiting tongue. And it says, an angry countenance driveth away a backbiting tongue. That is to show displeasure of the one that is doing the backbiting. It drives them away. And another evil use of the tongue is just to be hasty in our words. That is, not think about what we're about to say. In Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs 29, verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him. And again, the individual that is hasty in his words is simply an individual that does not think before they speak. It's simply an individual who does not take much care in what they're going to say. And again, if we realize the possibility of the harm that a word can cause, the possibility of the destruction that a word can cause. In Proverbs 18 and verse 13, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, before he hears everything, before he hears both sides, need always realize there's two sides to every story. You can't just hear what somebody says and then just go off. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The individual who answers something without hearing everything there is to hear is hasty. Is hasty in his speech. So we must give some thought to what we're going to say. So we see from these proverbs, by evil speaking, friends can be separated. And there are individuals that are so evil. They are individuals that are so wicked. That is their desire. I believe they believe that's their purpose on earth, is to separate friends. They cannot stand the thought. They cannot stand the sight of two people that are friends. And they begin to talk. And they do so with the intent of separating friends. So there are those that are so wicked, so evil, that it is their intent to use their words to separate friends. There are others who say things without thinking, and it's not their intent to separate friends. But the possibility is there. When you say things without thinking, you can cause a lifetime of harm, a lifetime of destruction. We see also that words from these proverbs that we've read tonight are wounds. They're wounds that go into the innermost parts of the belly. They go into the innermost parts of the belly, and those words, they're there. And that's why I said earlier, I believe we're more apt to forget what somebody does rather than what somebody says. When somebody says something hurtful, that goes into the innermost parts of our belly. And we had better try to get rid of it. We had better try to let it not control and consume our life. But because words are so powerful, they can cause great, very, very deep wounds. You don't have to pastor for too long to before you begin. You hear people will come to you and say, years ago, brother so-and-so said such-and-such to me. I mean, I've heard it hundreds of times. They've never gotten over it. They've never gotten over it. Now, they're at fault for not getting over it. But again, my point is, it shows how hurtful words can be. If a person came up and just slapped you in the face, you'd probably get over it. But they said something. They said something. And people are not apt to forget. We see also, not only are friends separated, not only are deadly wounds caused, but strife is stirred. And all through the book of Proverbs, you'll notice that strife is something that is stirred. It's something that's stirred up. There are people that are experts at stirring up strife. They will go from one person, whisper one thing. They'll go over to someone else, whisper something else. They are experts. They are good at sowing and stirring up strife. That's an evil, wicked individual. That is very, very dangerous. We see it can. These words can cause discord, can cause division. So it's no wonder that the psalmist in Psalm 52 and verse 2 spoke of the evil tongue as a razor, something that can cut, something that can cause great harm. And in Psalm 64 and verse 3, it is referred to as a sword. The tongue is a razor. The tongue is a sword. And in Jeremiah 9 and verse 8, it's referred to as an arrow. You see, the tongue can be a weapon. When it's used in an evil way, when it's an unruly evil, it becomes a weapon. And any time we begin to use our tongue as a weapon, we're sinning. We're sinning. And we're causing great harm. Again, James chapter 3, we see that the tongue is fire. The evil tongue is as poison. So from all of this, we see that it's very hurtful. And when we realize this, we realize the necessity of restraining it. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah, of course, was the prophet, and the people did not, for the most part, approve of what Jeremiah was preaching. And in Jeremiah 18 and verse 18, they then said, "They come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. Let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet." And then notice they're devising. "Come and let us smite him with the tongue." Let us smite him. That's causing a wound. That's causing hurt. Let us smite him with the tongue. Let us use our tongues against him. And let us not give heed to any of his words. We're going to do two things to Jeremiah. We're going to talk about it, and we're not going to listen to what he has to say. Evil. Tongue is destructive. Therefore, in Proverbs 15, if we turn there, we read of grievous or irritating words. Proverbs 15 and verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous or irritating words stir up anger. Irritating words. People can say things that just irritate you. And they can do that on purpose. There may not be any intent whatsoever. But irritating words always have the same effect. They stir up anger. And this causes more danger. So, from all of this, from the possibility of using our tongue in an evil way, it emphasizes the importance of governing the tongue. And the best way to govern the tongue is to have the wisdom of God in the heart. The wisdom that is from above in the heart. Because it is the heart that controls the tongue. Psalm 39 verse 1, we see that the psalmist was determined not to sin with his tongue. That needs to be the determination of all of God's people. That we are not going to sin with our tongue. That we are going to think before we speak. That we are not going to cause harm. That we are not going to cause division. That we are not going to separate individuals simply by speaking. Again, words are powerful. They are powerful. They can be used for evil. They can also be used for good, which we'll look at next week. And certainly, as a child of God, we ought to want our words to be used for good. There is not a one of us that can talk that has not offended someone with our words. We're all guilty. We've all offended someone with what we've said, how we said it. We've hurt someone with what we said, how we said it. You may not even know about it, but you can just mark it down that it's true. So, and we've all been affected. We've all been hurt. We've all been wounded from the words of others. The power, the impact of a word. So before we speak, we need to think of the damage that one word can cause. And that's why it's never good to speak out of uncontrolled anger. Uncontrolled anger. That's never a good thing. Never. Now, I didn't say, again, a person can speak out of anger, but it's uncontrolled anger that's dangerous. We need to control our hearts. Well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Well, you better be careful because you might not have anything left after you're done. And it may cause a world of harm to the individual. And you may think, well, I don't care if it does. But it may cause you a world of harm also. In a church, the devil is going to try his best to destroy a church. He is going to, and I guarantee you, he's going to use the tongue to do it. He knows the power, he knows the impact of a word. So let us be careful. Let us strive to control our tongue by controlling our heart, by filling our heart with the things of God, by having a spiritual heart. Then we have wise speech. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.